Well, we come today to the end of our first series for the year on prayer. And next week, as we know, Dr. Ray Buckey will be here on Mission Sunday, and then we will start a new series on discipleship, being trained by Jesus. That will start beginning of February, and that's also when our care groups will resume. Now this morning I have to apologize because I have a bit of a cold, so I won't shake your hand today, I won't hug you today, I'm sorry about that. But I trust that the Lord is here, I trust that He will speak to us, despite how I feel this morning. Many of you might have watched the inauguration of the US President on Monday. Friday morning. He was inaugurated Friday morning, and I saw that on TV. He made the speech, and there was tremendous pomp and ceremony. One of the things that makes this president quite unique, though, he does claim to be a Christian, but when they interviewed him, and they asked him if he'd ever asked God for forgiveness, he said, "I'm not sure I have. I just go on and try to do a better job from there. I don't think so," he said. "I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into the picture. I don't. I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try to not do anything that is bad." One of the things that we saw from this president was that he is someone that does not like to apologize. He does not ask for forgiveness. And this, as a result of bad and inadequate relationships. You know, in life, there are times when we have to say, "Please forgive me." And so you could do that with roses or chocolates. Or sometimes, just a note on your hand. "I'm sorry." This practice of asking forgiveness is something that we all need. Why is this necessary for us? Because it is part of human nature that we wrong each other. And when we do that, we hurt each other. And this leads to a breakdown in relationships. This is something that everyone knows. This is not rocket science. But we also know that even if we ask for forgiveness, it is not always accepted. And it's not just men that don't accept apologies. Ladies do the same sometimes. This goes equally across the sexes. So why is it that if we know that we need to forgive, that we don't do this? Everyone is supposed to know that the way to keep our good relationships is to ask forgiveness and to give forgiveness. If you do not forgive, you will carry that burden of hate, of distrust, and of bitterness toward the other person in your heart. These burdens of unforgiveness will pile up during your lifetime like cholesterol in your arteries until there is only a trickle of life flowing through your body. It will weigh you down and suck every drop of hope, joy, and optimism out of you. This is common knowledge. This is not rocket science. Yet, many people choose to hold on to a grudge and not to forgive. One of the longest standing family feuds was in Scotland, of all places, lasting for about 350 years. Between the clan Chattan and the clan Kay, only ending in the year 1396. Can you imagine living your life with such a cloud hanging over you? You have to ask, why do people do this? Many times it is their pride that gets in the way. People say, sure, I'm willing to forgive them if they apologize. If they will admit that they were wrong, I will forgive. But people who know they did wrong don't want to admit that. Now, in many disagreements, believe it or not, there is no agreement on who is in the wrong. The fact that there is a disagreement many times is because both parties don't agree on who's in the right and who's in the wrong. No one apologizes, no one's asking for forgiveness, and therefore no forgiveness is extended. Both parties continue to live with diminishing relationships and a growing burden of unforgiveness. So, we understand that it's true that even when we say sorry, when we ask forgiveness, the other person may choose not to forgive. How do we overcome these issues so that we can live a healthier and a fuller life? We do it by extending forgiveness to the other even when they do not apologize or repent. We do it by extending forgiveness even though no one is asking for forgiveness. This is the teaching of Jesus. And this is what he demonstrates while he is being crucified, as we see in today's passage. Reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 34. Let us read this together. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid him on the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, it is so striking to me that which is most needed in our lives, forgiveness, to accept forgiveness and to offer forgiveness, is also one of the most difficult things for us to do. I pray that this morning you would open our eyes so we can see. Open our minds so we can understand, and open our hearts that we will do what you ask us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this prayer, this one-line prayer that Jesus prays while he's on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Who is he speaking about? Who is he praying for? Who is the object of his prayer? Father, forgive them. There are four suggestions as to who this could be. The first one is that it could be the Roman soldiers crucifying him. He's praying for them. The second one is for all Romans, that is the soldiers and the leaders. The third one is for the crowd who chanted, crucify him, earlier that day. And then fourthly, for the Jewish leaders who framed him. Four options. Which one do you think Jesus was praying for? Was he praying for Pontius Pilate, the one who gave the ultimate order for Jesus to be crucified, but then washed his hands because he didn't want to be responsible for what he just did? Was he praying for him? Was he praying for the Jewish leaders, or was he praying for the soldiers? Now, I think it's number one. I think it's the Roman soldiers crucifying him. And I can't prove that you're wrong if you picked one of the others. But I will show you why I picked number one, the Roman soldiers. I'm going to give you some background information that's helpful here. When the Romans crucified someone, they sent out a small group of four soldiers with an officer or a centurion to go with him as what they would call a crucifixion detail. This group would then go out and perform the crucifixion as was ordered by the court. And there's no apparent reason why things would have been different in Jesus' case, why there would be a different system being used for him. Now, the reason I think Jesus was referring to these soldiers is a literary one. Let me put this passage back up on the PowerPoint and I want to show you what I mean. When I put this back on, and I'm highlighting the words they and them. The passage starts verse 26 and says, and they led him away. Now this I am interpreting as the crucifixion detail. This group of soldiers was going to perform the crucifixion. They led him away. They then seized one, Simon of Cyrene, and told him to carry the cross. Then we jump to verse 32, verse 33, when they came to the place that is called the skull, and there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and on his left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they cast lots to divide his garments. It was the Roman soldiers who took him away. It was the Roman soldiers who grabbed Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. It was the Roman soldiers who performed the crucifixion, and it was the Roman soldiers afterwards who were casting lots for his clothes. So there's a consistent they referring to this small group of soldiers, and in between that consistent they, there's the them that Jesus speaks of, and it seems to me that that is going to be that same group. That if there was a movement to a different subject in the last sentence, then Luke would have said, and the soldiers cast lots to divide his garments. But Luke doesn't do that. He stays with they, and them. So that's the reason why I choose one, and I think that Jesus was praying for these soldiers. Now, as Jesus prays for them, what is he asking for? Well, he's asking the Father to forgive them. And he's adding that they don't know what they are doing. And I think we can all agree that they did not understand the enormity of what they were doing. I don't think that they understood that it was the Creator of the universe on that cross. I also don't think that they understood that salvation and the future of the whole universe and even their own salvation would be dependent on that man on the cross. What's very important here for us is to note that there are two critical elements to Jesus' prayer for forgiveness for these unrepentant sinners that we need to keep in mind. Because here's the thing, these soldiers did not ask for forgiveness. So they were unrepentant. And now Jesus prays for them to be forgiven, even though they do not apologize or repent or say that they're sorry. There's a difference between salvific forgiveness and sanctifying forgiveness. So let me show you what I mean by that. I'm saying that there are two types of vertical forgiveness. When I talk about vertical forgiveness, I talk about forgiveness from God to human beings. When I talk about horizontal forgiveness, I talk about forgiveness between human beings on a horizontal level. So, two major types of forgiveness, vertical from God to us, and horizontal from us to each other. But in the one coming down from God, there's also two types. The one is salvific and the one is sanctifying. The first one, salvific forgiveness, is forgiveness that deals with our sin nature and leads to eternal life. This is the forgiveness that God grants to us when we come to Him and we repent, and as Pat Ross just told us, we give our lives to Him. We come to God, we say, I know I'm a sinner, and I have a sinful nature, I do what's wrong, and I desire to do what's wrong, but Lord Jesus, I know that You've died for me on the cross, and I want You to forgive my sins, and I want You to make me a new person. I then become born again, and I then become a person who is new now, who is now in Christ. So, that deals with our sin nature, and that means now that you have eternal life. In Acts 2:38, when the Apostle Peter preached the first sermon there in Jerusalem after the resurrection, the people said, "What then shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That is new birth. That is someone going from an old man becoming a new man in Christ. That is salvific forgiveness. But there's another kind of forgiveness, and that is what I call sanctifying forgiveness. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, the first forgiveness means that we become a Christian. But now that we are a Christian, we still commit some sins. And to be cleansed from those sins then, that becomes sanctifying forgiveness. In 1 John 1 verse 9 to 10, he writes and says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us." So this kind of forgiveness is something that we would ask for on an ongoing basis. As we live our lives, as we commit sins, we will ask God to cleanse us again and again. So the first one is going to establish the relationship between us and God, and the second one is going to maintain the relationship between us and God. If I can put it in that way. So, that's important for us to keep in mind now as we think about this prayer of Jesus for the soldiers as He's on the cross. It seems to me that Jesus forgave the soldiers for what they did to Him on a horizontal level. And then He prayed that the Father would forgive them on a vertical level. And both the forgiveness that Jesus gave on a horizontal level and that He prayed for the Father would give would be sanctifying forgiveness. Would be that these sins that they are doing not be written up against them and stand against them on the day of judgment. Does that make sense? Jesus is not saying, these guys are now born again. These guys are now have eternal life. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, Lord God, you are the judge of the heavens and the earth, and you are the one that is going to keep and hold everyone to account on the day of judgment. And this sin that they are doing, I want you to wipe this away. I want you to forgive. I don't want you to hold this against them. That's the prayer that he's praying. So, when Jesus prays his prayer, he's putting into practice what he's already taught his disciples. Because he's been teaching us that we should forgive on a horizontal level for many reasons. But he then, when he does that, is himself demonstrating by his actions what he taught in his words. And yes, this forgiveness should be granted even if the offenders or the offender does not repent or ask for forgiveness. Stephen does the same thing. When Stephen is martyred and they stone him, Stephen prays and he says, Lord, forgive them. Even as he's being stoned, he prays the same prayer. Stephen, I think, is following in the example that Jesus set in this passage here that we are studying today. You see, a forgiven person is to be a forgiving person. God has forgiven us so much. He has forgiven us the debt that we can never pay. It becomes so much easier for us now to forgive someone else when they offend against us. If you think back to that parable that Jesus taught about the man who was forgiven by the king a large amount of money, and the man went outside and he spoke to his friend who owed him a small sum of money. After he was forgiven by the king, he refused to forgive his friend who owed him a small amount. And Jesus said, no, that's not right. The king actually called him back in. The king said, now I'm going to throw you in the dungeon because of what you did. You had no shame because you were forgiven so much, yet you refused to forgive so little. Now I'm going to give you five quick reasons why you should extend forgiveness to those who wrong you, whether they repent or not. The first one is because Jesus connects our horizontal forgiveness to God's vertical forgiveness. When Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, he ends with this in the book of Matthew. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He's connecting the two, the vertical and the horizontal. If you are faithful to forgive horizontally, you could ask God for forgiveness vertically. But those two are connected. Secondly, Jesus commands us to do it. Jesus gives us this command in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. When you stand praying, when you want to bring your prayers before God, you can't bring your prayers before God if there's unforgiveness in your heart. Two things that God desires when he listens to our prayers. The one is faith. We need to believe. We need to pray in faith. And secondly, there needs to be forgiveness. We can't come before our God in heaven with a grudge against our neighbor on earth. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See that connection? Horizontal and vertical. You forgive just as Christ forgave you. Thirdly, Jesus set the example for us in His own life. And we saw that today in Luke 23, the passage that we read, where Jesus is on the cross. He has every right to call for justice against these people. But He doesn't do that. He's asking God to forgive. And as He's doing that, He Himself is forgiving. That's the example that He sets for us. Fourthly, it helps us to avoid relationship-killing vices of anger, bitterness, resentment, and hate. If you allow those things to remain in your life, they will kill you. They will kill your inner life and they will kill your relational life. And Paul says, when we love, he says we don't keep a record of wrong. Peter says the perfect love covers a multitude of sins. The antidote to anger, bitterness, resentment, and hate is to love and to forgive. That's the way of life. That's the way of Jesus. Number five, it ensures that our prayers are not hindered. We want our prayers to be heard. We need to practice unforgiveness. If we stand praying and we know that we have unforgiveness towards a brother or a sister, let us first forgive before we continue our prayer. Whether they are going to repent or not, whether they are going to ask for forgiveness or not. If we do this, brothers and sisters, we will be true sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. I know this is countercultural. I know this is hard to do. We all struggle with this. But there's no dodging this. There is a famous baseball player in the States, Mark Teixeira. He says, every time I pray, I ask for forgiveness. I'm a sinner. I sin every single day. But I do know that God loves me. I do know that God forgives me. It helps me in my everyday life because there's nothing anyone can do to me that I can't forgive them for. Brothers and sisters, if we can live like that, we will live freely, we will live courageously, and we will live lovingly. We will be true sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we see our own hearts, we know our own minds, and we know that many times we struggle to forgive. We also struggle to ask for forgiveness. But this is so, so important. I pray, Lord, that You would, through Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would strengthen us, that You would encourage us. And I pray, Lord, that You bring us to a place where we know this is exactly what we need to do. We cannot dodge this. We have to do this. And I pray, Lord, that as we take one step towards forgiving others, I pray that You would strengthen us to take two steps. But we speak one word of release and forgiveness. Lord, I pray that You would help us to speak two words of blessing. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would live as free people and not be bound by this bitterness, this hatred, this distrust that can so easily become a part of our lives. I pray that You would set us free because it is for freedom, Lord, that You have set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.